Blog Talk Radio.
The following is a public service announcement from the Dark Main Event.
Fuck you. I think that's all I've got. Fuck you. Fuck you all. Fuck every one of you. Fuck me. Fuck everyone. Anyway.
And now, back to your regularly scheduled program.
It's a shameful face, a blaster head, a careless man who could wind up dead. You wear your sin like it's some kind of pride. Too many lies, too many lies. Oh, these words are true, and I'll make you believe. Yeah, you fight for every struggle just to breathe. And you wear...
Yes. Thank you, Ocelot, for that public service announcement. Welcome, everyone, to the Dark Main Event presented by KayfabeCorner.com. We are on the air everywhere on the vast Blog Talk Radio Network. I am Steve, and as always, alongside me is my trusty pal, Josh. Josh, say hi to everybody.
Hey, hi, and what up, Internet? Steve, how are you doing this fine, fine evening?
I am doing very, very well. We have an absolutely packed show, and we actually don't have enough time to fuck around and talk about how packed the show is this week, so let's just get right down to it.
Indeed, we will. But first, before we do that, we got to introduce the third member of our team. Back by unfortunate popular demand. Ladies and gentlemen, God, I don't want to fucking do this. Disembodied voice.
Oh, hey, guys, what's going on?
How's it going, voice guy?
Oh, no, not too bad. Hi, Steve, how's it going? How are you?
You going to make any more anti-Semitic jokes this week, jackass? I don't have time for your crap.
I'm sorry, you know, I'm really sorry. I told Josh to tell you I'm sorry. I don't know if he told you or not. But, I'm really sorry. I don't really mean it. I love Jews. My dad's Jewish. And, yeah, I'm really sorry, man. I love you. I love you both. Well, not you, Josh. You suck. But, Steve, I love you.
Great. You know, if you loved me, you'd get back in the corner and go do Josh's laundry and let us do the show.
Right. Yeah. And why the hell is the dryer broken again, dude? I thought you fixed that.
Well, you know, I tried, but I got electrocuted, and it wasn't pleasant at all. But I'm really sorry about that, man. I hope... Please don't kick me out or anything, because... I really need a place to stay, and I like staying with you. You have a nice couch. It's comfortable.
I know it's comfortable. I fucking bought it, dude. Do you have anything else that you want to say right now?
Yeah, I just want to say that you know, I'm really really glad to be the third co-host of the Dark Band event.
Well, you're not a co-host. You're part of the show. You're not a co-host. All right. So just calm down. For now, you're done. Get in the corner. Go.
No. Okay.
Fucking idiot.
Why do you people like him?
Yeah, that's what I want to know. Okay, because he's a moron. I don't even want him staying with me. The only reason that he stays with me is because he does my laundry, he washes my dishes, and he gives good back rubs. I won't lie. That's it. That's all he's good for.
Well, now that that's over, we can talk wrestling, because that's what the show is about, not about a disembodied voice. I hate that guy.
I think
he owes me $10, but Raw last night was from some town that nobody cares about, and Josh, why don't you just start giving your thoughts about it?
Well, nobody cares about Tulsa. What are you talking about? I care about Tulsa. Tulsa, man. It's Tulsa. Home of the Golden Hurricane. I can't even say that with a straight face. He's right. Nobody fucking cares about Tulsa. Raw was Tulsa, though. And it was not a bad show, what I saw of it. I missed about half of it, probably. We were busy doing other things.
We were.
And, you know, you couldn't watch it anyway because you had extenuating circumstances and all that. But the beginning of the show... I honestly don't even remember what happened at the beginning. Do you remember what happened at the beginning?
I do. Fandango and Chris Jericho had a dance-off of epically god-awful proportions, thanks to Summer Rae, not to anybody else.
Yeah, that's why I don't remember what happened, because I just wanted to forget about it. Summer Rae. Kelly Kelly Part 2. Electric Blue. She is horrible. I can't stand her. I want the other chick back, permanently. She doesn't have a name, she doesn't say anything, she doesn't do anything except for dance. But I like watching her dance, and I like looking at her, because she is hot. Please call me, Mystery Chick. Please?
Yeah, call him.
Hey!
Summer Rae pulled a spot where she hurt her ankle, and it led to Fandango actually taking one part of the parquet floor that was in the ring and beating Jericho with it, which I thought was kind of funny, actually.
Oh, yeah, that bit was funny. I mean, the floor, actually, when he picked it up, before he picked it up, I thought it was just cheap plywood, but it looked like more than that when he picked it up. So, you know, it was kind of a good, funny spot. But other than that, I mean, the whole segment was just... I wanted to forget about it, and thanks a lot for reminding me, asshole.
I mean, you asked about what was going on with Raw, and the main thing that I wanted to talk about from Raw, even though I didn't see it live, I did see it back on a replay.
I'm sorry to interrupt you. I didn't even do that. I was going to today, but I was just like, you know what? I've got better things to do, like anything else in the entire world.
Yeah, well, you actually you watched the show live. I was not able to, so I made sure to catch it back, so I knew what I was talking about. And
hey, you know what? I watched some of it live. You know, the rest of it, like I said, I wasn't able to. We were busy. We were doing stuff. You'll find out later. But
yeah, we'll talk about that towards the end of the show, or possibly on our Facebook page, facebook.com/kayfabecorner, or facebook.com/thedarkmaidevent. But I want to talk about the Triple H and Brock Lesnar segment. I thought that I thought it was good for what it was, but what sold me on the pay-per-view was not that. It was the Lesnar segment last week where he destroyed Triple H's office.
Right. Can we just talk about that again? Because I feel like that went way better than last night.
It did. But we have to talk about the show last night. And, you know, it was cool that they did the promo in the cage. I thought that was kind of a neat touch. But, you know, other than that, same old, same old.
Even the cage thing didn't do anything for me. It was the same old, same old. It was Triple H talking to Paul Heyman while Brock Lesnar stood there next to him, smiling like a menacing goofball. Then they got into a fight, and, you know, the show ended on that. That's basically how the last three shows before WrestleMania ended. It's, you know, and before SummerSlam last year. It's nothing new. It's just what we've seen over and over again. I'm tired of it. This, ladies and gentlemen, is your Extreme Rules main event.
Well, probably not over John Cena, but close enough. Co-main event, we'll say.
Yeah, maybe.
The other thing that I thought was huge news, despite the elimination tag team match, which was fantastic between The Shield and John Cena and Team Hell No, was that Dean Ambrose is getting a United States title match at Extreme Rules against Kofi Kingston, and Reigns and Rollins are getting a tag team title match against Hell No. This is it. The Shield's probably going to win both of those matches, and we're going to have a dominant stable in WWE again.
Yeah, I mean, and yeah, it's big news, but it's not as big as it could or should be, because, I mean, let's face it, the United States and tag team titles don't mean jack, and they haven't for a long time. Maybe putting them on the Shield, having the dominant stable thing, can do something for both those titles, elevate them a little bit, do some stuff. Who knows? But as of right now, I'm excited about it, but I'm not, like, overly excited about, like, oh, my God, you know, Ambrose is going to be a singles champion or anything like that. It is what it is to me. I'm not excited about the pay-per-view at all, for one thing, but it didn't really do a whole lot for me, the announcement.
I could not disagree with you more, and the only reason I say that is because the fact that Dean Ambrose is getting such a big singles push already, despite The Shield only being around for 5 months, debuting last year at Survivor Series, is huge. And it shows how much confidence WWE has in this guy, that they're going to break him away from The Shield first, and he's going to be the next big guy. And if he beats Kofi Kingston at Extreme Rules for the United States Championship, and we'll get into our predictions for that match a bit later in the show, if he does that, that's the start of Dean Ambrose's career right there as a singles competitor, and that's a really big deal.
Yeah, don't get me wrong, it's a big deal, but I mean, the United States Championship, like I said, it doesn't mean a whole lot. It doesn't do a whole lot for your career. Look at Cesaro. He's a United States champion for, what, 240 days?
Yeah.
Where's he at now?
Well, I mean,
he's not
holding the title
anymore.
Long enough for you to make that statement. He's lost the title for not even a month, so I don't count that.
I kind of do, because it didn't really, like, lead to anything. He had the same gimmick that was just suddenly dropped for yodeling, and that was suddenly dropped for just jobbing to Randy Orton in 3 minutes. So, yeah.
Okay, to counteract your point, I'm going to pick out two guys that recently won the United States Championship and went on to bigger things. Number one being The Miz, who, if you remember, was United States Champion, then Tag Team Champion, and then went on to win the WWE Championship and headlined one of the worst WrestleMania main events ever, but still he got a big push. And another guy was Daniel Bryan.
Who?
I'm sorry, DBD.
Okay, that guy.
DBD won the U.S. title, and he went on a year later, I believe, to win Money in the Bank. So the United States title, despite not meaning a lot to normal viewers, means a lot when you get it put on you.
Fair enough. But I'll wait and see. I'm not down on Ambrose or anything. Don't get me wrong. I love Ambrose. I want big things for him. But I know that company, you know, and like I said, I'll wait and see. I'll reserve judgment for a couple months down the road when we see what happens.
All right, fair enough. But, yeah, the elimination match last night on Raw was great. You know, even though John Cena made his typical comeback and did Super Cena, I don't even count that as a loss to the Shield, only because, you know, Cena took three of them out, eliminated them, not pinned them all at once. And I think the way they're booking the Shield is really great. They're still protecting them, and it's been, you know, 5 or 6 months down the road now.
Right, definitely. And, you know, you had that. You got Rollins in a singles match against Kane on main event. I mean, the Shield, they're really behind them, and, you know, was evidenced with the title shots, even though my opinions on the titles and everything, you know, all that aside, they are behind the Shield. They have been since Survivor Series, and it's very good for I think the company, for the business, for, you know, any independent wrestler who aspires to, you know, actually make it to the WWE and, you know, be somebody, you know, you can do that because Shield, Daniel Bryan, Punk, Cesaro, those guys, it's, you know, they're catering to the IWC basically. And,
right.
Well, somewhat anyway, I guess.
Yeah.
To an extent. I mean, the product is still shit, but the right guys are getting pushes now, it seems like. And that's, you know, 5 years ago, you wouldn't have seen that.
No, not at all. And the other big news for me was the return finally of The Miz after weeks and weeks and weeks of being away filming crappy movies. And they decided to announce they're going to put him on the Extreme Rules pre-show against Cody Rhodes. Yay?
In a match that makes no sense, with no build. And, yeah. Because why not? Miz, Cody Rhodes? I mean, yeah. Why not?
Why not? But what?
Not?
Anything else that you wanted to discuss? I got my main points out.
Mark Henry and Sheamus. This feud could be so much hotter than it is. But I feel like, you know, with all the crappy, campy stuff they've been doing with Tug of Wars and arm wrestling matches and all this other stuff, that it's basically just turned into another typical shitty angle. And I think both guys deserve better. You know, Sheamus isn't my favorite guy in the world, but he's over. And, you know, as a face, he's acting like a bully, and the whole Be a Star campaign thing is kind of stupid to me, but, you know, whatever. And Henry can be a monster. You know, his last run before he got injured, he, you know, was, you know, got insane heat and was a legit threat, it seemed like, to just put somebody out. And
right
now he just looks like a damn fool. I don't really get what they're doing with that.
Yeah, I kind of agree with you. If Sheamus was a heel, this feud would be a million times better. But he's babyface Sheamus, and he's boring. And he's been acting like a heel, even though he's face and been blindsiding Mark Henry. So I don't know what's going on with that. But I'm not looking forward to that match. I couldn't care less.
No, yeah, same here. But, you know, Sheamus has been acting like a heel for a while. Remember, he stole Alberto Del Rio's car.
Well, that was forever ago.
Yeah, but still, you know, it's not anything new. That's a felony right there. And, you know, felonies don't matter in wrestling, I guess. So.
Well, neither do DUIs, but that's another podcast.
Yeah. Yeah. Weed the people, indeed.
Anyway, that was Raw, I think.
Well, hang on.
What?
I guess we got to do this. Do you have anything you want to add?
No. Well, you know, I think John Cena...
No, you're done. Stop. Go.
Don't ask him. We'll bring him on when we feel like it, not when he wants.
Well, I signed him to a contract. You know, I'm contractually obligated now to ask him certain questions at certain times. He had a list of demands, even. I'll get into that a little later.
Yeah.
But yeah,
anyways.
You know, just let's move on.
Yeah. Now, we're gonna go in. We're gonna go to one of our favorite segments on the show.
Yeah.
All right, it is time for Girl Meets Wrestling, and as always, we have Bethany on the line, so let's bring her in. Hey, Bethany, what's going on?
Hello.
Hola.
How's it going, guys?
Great, how are you?
I'm shitty, actually. How are you?
Good. So this week, I know that, because I totally want to get into this match and everything, but this week, Jeremy wanted to do a segue really quick and tell you guys about a funny story that happened.
Okay, well, let's bring
it.
The Guildmaster in.
Yes, I will hand it over. Hold on.
Hang on one second. Before you get into that, Jeremy, hi, how are you?
Hi, I'm good. How are you?
Hey,
fantastic.
What's going on, Staples? Yeah, Josh, I think you're thinking the same thing I'm thinking here. Jeremy,
yeah.
What did we tell you about supervillains calling in and leaving us voicemails?
I remember you mentioning something about it, but I don't know what you're talking about.
The fuck you don't.
All right, well, for those of you who don't know or chose to forget like I did, we had Bane call us a few weeks ago and leave us a really nasty voicemail, and I checked our voicemails today, and we had another message from another supervillain.
Hang on one sec, Steve. Before you get to that, speaking of Bane,
uh-huh.
I actually got an email from him earlier this week. If you want, you can email us, too, at thedarkmainevent@gmail.com. You can drop us a line. I was checking the emails. You know, I got an email. I think it was for you, though. I'm sorry I opened it and read it. But just let me read it here real quick. It says, Dear Steve, why haven't you returned to my calls? We can make beautiful darkness together. Love, Bane. So, yeah, take that for what it's worth.
Yeah. Anyways, so Staples, just I'm not even going to say anything. Just listen.
Hello, Josh and Steve. This is your old pal, the Joker, leaving you yet another voicemail. Why have you been ignoring me? Is it because I threatened to burn your families alive? Or is it because of those nude pictures of myself I sent you? I thought that they were very tasteful and that my dear Holly captured me in just the right light. Moving along, I am very disappointed that you have not responded back to me. You had time to play your message from that imbecile Bane on your show, but you can't pick up the phone and call your biggest fan? Sleep well, boys.
Staples.
Wow.
That's a fucking threat.
Just wow. I would be scared if I were you. Have you sought the authorities?
What are the authorities going to do?
Yeah, we've got the Arkham Island.
I'm in Arkham, yeah.
Oh,
maybe
my
Black
God.
Game.
You've got to make this stop, okay? I don't know.
How am I supposed to make it stop?
I'm scared,
I don't,
man.
Like, I don't have communication with supervillains.
Can you call Batman for us or something?
I'll see what I can do.
All right.
Hey, can I talk to him? No.
I love you, disembodied voice. You're my best friend.
You're the only one.
Hey, Jeremy, what's going on tonight? How you doing, man?
Not much. I'm a big fan of yours, I have to say. This is so great to be on the phone with you right now.
That's really cool. Hey, can you get the Joker to call me? I think that'd be really cool. I like the Joker.
I don't know what you're talking about. I don't talk to supervillains.
Nice try, man. I appreciate it. Anyways, Staples does have a story for us, despite us getting harassed by the Joker.
That.
So, Jeremy, what's this awesome story you want to tell?
It's a short story. See, me and Bethany, we have a tendency to drink way too much, and occasionally said drinking leads to tomfoolery and wrestling around. And so this one time I decided that I was going to teach her how to take a suplex, like, you know, a standing vertical suplex. drunk off my ass. Anyway, I told her, you know, okay, so you just, like, you know, on three, you jump, I'll pick you up, the momentum will carry you through the arc, and you'll land on your back safely. Well, I got about halfway through the arc, and she, like, clenched up. And when she did, like, I lost, like, my balance, lost control of her, and she fell, like, right down on top of me. And her knee cracked me right in the forehead.
Oh.
And, like, I instantly got this about 1 inch off of my head. Like, I look like a fucking unicorn almost. This knot, like, just instant knot. And I'm pretty sure that I didn't go to the hospital, but I'm pretty sure I had a concussion because I spent, like, the next, day in, like, this fog. I thought the story was, relevant, you know, because, you know, everything is going off Mr. Ziggler, you know, Captain Ziggles. And
you can, I'm sorry to interrupt you, you can actually read a little bit more about that at kayfabedcorner.com and check out Behind the Curtain that just went up today. It's a little bit more info on Ziggler's concussion and how bad it was. Just, you know, throwing that out there as a little cheap plug for the site.
Yeah, and everybody should be sure to do that. It was great.
I'm sorry. Continue.
That was really the end of the story. I spent, like I said, about a day, and couldn't get my thoughts together. You know, a little bit of trouble sleeping, stuff like that. But probably should have gone to the hospital. But so that's where I learned not to attempt to give my wife vertical suplexes. I stick to belly to backs now.
More you know.
Yeah. So yeah.
You can put her in the cross space.
I could.
It works waka for waka. Benoit.
It works so well for him.
Oh, yeah. My God.
Well, you know, maybe one of these nights when we, you know, get into a drunken argument, well, that's what we'll do.
Ah, we're all going to hell.
Hug your children tightly tonight, kid, or ladies and gentlemen.
Yes, absolutely. And kids, hug your parents because they're fucking nuts.
Yeah, they are. So anyway, I'm going to hand it over to Bethany for everybody's favorite segment.
All right.
And you guys take care.
All right.
Fantastic. Thank you, boss.
Hi, boys.
Hey. Thanks for letting him on the phone for that awesome story.
So, well, I had to let him share it. Yeah, I concussed my husband. And it's wrestling related, right? So it works.
It is. But speaking of wrestling related, we gave Bethany a really fucking awesome match this week that we knew she would love. And before we get into this, I was told to credit this person on the air with coming up with this idea. It was not mine or Josh's idea. This idea was sent in to us by some guy named Jeremy Staples. I don't know who he is, but
he's a fucker.
This was,
is who he is.
This was his idea.
Like an
we gave
he's
Bethany.
Like trying wrestling moves on his wife. That's like domestic violence, man.
Anyways, we gave Bethany Bret Hart versus Jerry Lawler from SummerSlam 1993. And if you don't know about that match, there's a nice little caveat to it that I won't spoil. So, Bethany, what'd you think?
So, yeah, I didn't put two and two together. And I'll be honest, I actually, we've been kind of busy. And if you hadn't heard, I actually recently just got word that I'm going to be promoted at work, so I'm excited about that. So I've been busy. And I actually didn't even watch the match until tonight when I got off work around 6:30. And so by about that time, about 6:30 or 7 when I watched it, I had seen your little plug for the show tonight. And I was like, you know, I even commented on it, like you said, that on purpose, not thinking anything. So anyway, I guess I just won't go any further into it. I thought that it was going to be a great match. I, you know, tied the hate convo from Raw last night to Jerry Lawler's, like, I hate you, I hate your family, blah, blah. And I was like, oh, that's kind of, you know, that's interesting that that happened. And so I was going deep in thought, thinking about tying those together and sounding like I'm up to date and current with my wrestling news, getting excited. And then I was like, wait, he drove his own limo? He said something about renting a limo and then crashed it and said, who drives their own limo? And I was just sitting there thinking about that when all of a sudden he's like, yeah, and then my my whatever you call him is going to come out here and do the job for me. And he's like, Doink the Clown. And then all of a sudden a fucking clown comes. I was like, God damn it. That's why, and no lie, you can ask Jeremy, I looked at him right in the face and just gave him the deadliest glare. I was like, really? This is what's going to happen tonight? It was messed up. So, and really, the other gimmick match that I had watched, you know, I couldn't take my eyes off of him to the point where when, you know, the Hart brothers and the other people outside the ring were wrestling with each other, like fighting each other, I was sitting there thinking to myself, kind of like squirming from left to right, like, move, guys, move. I can't see the clown. Got to stay within sight, you know, so he doesn't come get me. Like, I'm not lying. That's how terrified I am of clowns. And so it was a very uncomfortable match to watch. I was very glad when he finally made his exit. There was one point where I just tried to calm myself down by focusing on Brett's boots. And, of course, you knew that I was going to have to bring up boots. Yeah. I gave him a 410. They weren't good boots.
Yeah. Brett's kind of a boring boring ring attire guy. He's an excellent wrestler and everything, but yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Really,
for somebody that wears black and hot pink, it would be cuter.
Hey, you know. He's Canadian. What do you expect?
He's Canadian, right? That's what's wrong with it. There was a part where I was staring at his boots, and I was like, oh, God, just calm down. And then the clown did, like, a smothering-type submission move, which just scared me. I was like, he's going to bite him. He's going to bite him. He's going to kill him. I was really glad when he when he left. And then I was really surprised that Lawler was faking it, which, again, ties into that terrible segment yesterday on Raw. So it was almost like they were just taking cues from this match all over the place. I did have a question for you guys. I don't know that much about the backstory. Jeremy did say that they had a feud going for a couple years. Was there, like, really for real bad feelings between them?
No.
I don't believe so.
No. Definitely not.
Great. Well, they give good feud because that was really cool. It was it just seemed like they hated each other, and it was kind of neat. The ref pissed me off. He made me irritated. And, oh, Jeremy just wrote his name down. Bill Alfonso.
Fonzie.
Yes. He made me angry. I was like, really? Just shut the fuck up and pay attention to the wrestlers. Don't look at the guys arguing outside the ring. And because Lawler's a bully. He seems like a bully to me. And so it was, I'm a big Bret Hart lover, so it was upsetting to see that Lawler kept getting all these cheap shots in. And so, and then one other thing that I had to mention, and it was right around the time they were like, no, Lawler, you get back in the ring. If you're not in the ring, you're going to be banned and all that. And Bret Hart, he goes, he already had one of the straps of his singlet thing off at that point. It had been taken off. He had taken it off. He gets in the ring, and all of a sudden, you know, they start wrestling a little bit, and he's all just breaking out in the sweat, and he throws his hair back, and he removes the other strap. And he just gives Lawler this look, and I was like, holy shit, it's the longest striptease ever. Because the longer he went through his match, the less clothes he was wearing. It was kind of awesome. So,
I do love
and then, yeah, the end, the how many people does it take to break a sharpshooter? That was just kind of ridiculous. My opinion, they should have just tickled Brett, because that seems to work with me, in my experience. You just tickle him. So
that's good to know.
Don't you think? Steve, are you guys ticklish?
No, I'm not.
You're not? See, I'm not either.
He's silent, so I'm assuming he is.
Yeah, oh. I am, but that's kind of
silent. Well, that's good to know. So, Steve, when we decided to take that trip up to Washington, we got some ammo.
Oh yeah.
Not on me. I'm not ticklish, but Jerry is.
That's even better.
Right?
You said you were.
No, I said I'm not ticklish. In my experience, it just works like it. You know, Jeremy and I wrestle, and he's never given me a sharpshooter. Well, he tried to once actually when we were drinking. He actually literally did try to give me a sharpshooter. And,
how have you not called the authorities on him for domestic violence and had his ass locked up?
Because I can make him tap out a couple of times. And so I've made him tap out before. So it's really just, you know, a lot of unknown moves. I don't know what I'm doing, but it hurts,
right.
And that's good enough.
Okay.
So, yeah. But the match, it was good. It was a good match. I really, really liked it after the clown part. After Doink the Clown, he scared the shit out of me. But the rest of it was awesome.
We know. Next week we'll give you Doink and his midget army of Dink the Clowns.
Oh, gee, yeah, that'd be fantastic. Thanks.
He's going to quit if we do that, Steve. We're not doing that at all. We'll pick a good match for you. I'll pick the match next week. You heard it here first. I'm picking the match.
You got
it.
No
great.
Clowns.
How many hair flips for Bret Hart?
Oh, you know, Bret gets 10 hair flips this week.
All right.
10 out of 5 because he was bullied and it wasn't fair.
Be a star.
But I liked it. Lawler gets negative 5 hair flips and a boot to the face.
Fancy boot?
It's not even a fancy boot. He gets like an ugly boot to the face.
Oh.
I'm not going to waste my fancy boot on him.
He gets a hooker boot to the face.
He gets a hooker boot to the face. Like curb
style.
Hooker boots.
And the
actually,
and...
I love hooker boots.
Speaking of hookers, we have somebody here, somebody who's been through a lot of hookers because he's desperate. He'd like to talk to you very much. It's in his demands. Come here.
Hey, Bethany, what's going on? How's it going?
Oh, disembodied voice. You're my favorite. No, don't tell the others, but you're my favorite co-host.
We can hear that, too.
I'm right here, jackass.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate that a lot. These guys, they're not very nice to me. I don't know if you've noticed or not, but they just kind of treat me like dirt, and you seem pretty nice, and I just wanted to say hi and say that I really like you and your segment, and I think you should call me sometime, yeah.
I like you too. You're adorbs. And don't, you know, haters be hating.
Yeah. You're not even going to, like, claim that that's weird, that he just asked you to call him? You're married.
Nah, it's all right.
All right, you talk to her. Go away.
He gets good phone.
Get back in the corner. You talk to her. It's all right.
Anyways, if you guys have a match suggestion that isn't a Doink the Clown match for Bethany, you can suggest it on our fan page at facebook.com/thedarkmainevent. And for us, please suggest lots of Doink matches.
Don't do that. That's mean.
Don't do Doink matches.
Yeah, don't do that. You can also suggest them. You can tweet us. We got Twitter. Twitter.com. It's at @darkmainevent. Hit us up. Follow us. Read our stuff. Tweet us. The match suggestions and stuff. You can email us. I gave the email address earlier. I ain't doing it again because I'm lazy. We got a group. Suggest it there. Yeah.
That's right.
Do all that.
And then go talk to Bethany because she loves fucking with people on the group. She's awesome and all that good stuff.
True story.
Yeah.
Hit me up.
All right.
Hit her.
We got to get to some other good stuff, Bethany. But thanks a lot for coming on the show. As always, we'll talk to you next week.
All right, boys. Have a good night.
You too.
Thanks,
bye.
Bethany.
Bye.
I love that segment.
I do, too. I mean, it's a train wreck. What a good train wreck.
It's the best train wreck ever. What is not a train wreck is something that we have been promoting all week long, and we are going to get to it right now. We have a special guest on this week's show. We were very excited to talk to the Irish Warrior, Adam Cole, in an exclusive interview. And Josh has nothing to say about it.
Well, I thought you were just going to play it. Okay, hang on.
Say
it again.
You're supposed to play it up. You're supposed to be like, yeah, Adam was awesome, and hey, it was cool. You
guys
liked the interview.
That's not how it went last time. Okay, let's just try it again.
So, we have an exclusive interview this week. We got to talk to Irish Warrior Adam Cole. Isn't that amazing, Josh?
Yes, it was. It was very amazing. He's an awesome dude. He had some awesome stories. We were rolling on the floor with laughter. R-F-O-L-M-A-O, as the kids are saying on the internet these days.
They
yeah,
are indeed.
You gotta listen to it. You gotta hear it. LOL, Adam Cole.
Okay, everyone, this is the Dark Main Event presented by KayfabeCorner.com. This is Steve, and along with me, as always, is my co-host, Josh. Josh, say hi to the nice people.
Hey, hi, and what up, everyone? What's going on, Steve?
Oh, nothing much, and we are very excited to have a special guest on the show this week. He is the Irish Warrior, Adam Cole. Adam, welcome to the Dark Main Event. How you doing?
I'm doing all right. Thanks for having me on here, guys.
It's our pleasure.
Not a problem. Thank you for coming on, and let's not waste any time because we know we have a lot to talk about and you have a lot to say, so let's get right into this.
All right, let's do it.
Let's do it. So first thing we want to ask is just give us some background on yourself. Who is Adam Cole?
Well, I've been in the wrestling business since 98. I was the last student of a legend in the business, Nelson Royal. Last student right before he died. Student of Dory Funk. I know that's a legendary name, the Funk family. Been up and down the roads for, 16 years now. And yeah. Actually just retired from that
okay.
As far as in-ring work. But still throwing out influences, still helping out the young guys. I love this business. I want to see it succeed. So everything that I've learned, some of it the hard way, I'm passing along to these newer guys so they don't have to learn it the hard way like I did.
You mentioned training with Dory Funk. Along with him, you trained with guys like the Rock and Roll Express. Can you tell us what that was like?
Rock and Roll Express, worked a few shows that they were on, and just one of the shows that I was booked on, they were doing a seminar beforehand. They're like, hey, you know, come in here. You know, we'll take a look at you. Anything that we could see that we could probably improve on, you know, we'll give you some, you know, give you some notes. Pretty fun day. A few things that they pointed out and a few notes and like, hey, guys, you know, try this, try that. You know, a couple things, you know, we ran through and they're like, you know, I dare anyone to even try it in their match tonight and see how the crowd reacts to it. I did and, you know, for anyone that doesn't believe, you know, the young guys that may be listening to this, listen to what the old-timers say. They know what will get a crowd popping.
Yeah, definitely. And we'll get to some more of those old-timers a little bit later in this interview, but just a little bit more about your in-ring career. You're a 4-time NWA Tag Team Champion. Did you have a favorite or a least favorite partner that you worked with?
Well, I had two of the titles with a guy named Bloodhunter, who was one of my first students. And the other two tag titles was with a guy named AJ McIntyre, the Scottish Assassin. He also trained with Nelson Royal. In fact, he had just graduated from Nelson Royal's training months before I began training with Nelson. So we just had that little transition period where he was getting out as I was coming in. But we ended up being once a piece with each partner, NWA Carolinas Tag Team Champion
mm-hmm.
and a NWA PCW Tag Team Champion. And this was from the time period of 2007 through 2008-2009 is the time period that we held the four titles. But I've been off and on wrestling for the NWA since early 2006. And, you know, I know a lot of people are saying how the NWA has gone downhill a little bit, but I love the company. You know, I'm full-blooded Irish. I, you know, as you can see with my name, the Irish Warrior, I love my heritage. But I was born and raised in a town just outside of Charlotte, North Carolina. So I grew up in the 80s with Jim Crockett Promotions and the NWA and, you know, Ric Flair, Tully Blanchard, you know, the Horsemen, Jimmy Valiant, Dusty Rhodes, Magnum TA. And to me, the NWA equals wrestling. And the fact that I was able to work for a company that, you know, I was 3 years old watching these guys saying, I'd like to do this one day, you know. And not only that, being able to meet some of these idols and get advice from them is, it's just mind-blowing. I mean, one of my major idols that when I was in my mid-teens that made me think, okay, yes, this is what I want to do with my life, was the king of old school, Steve Corino. And I actually got a chance to meet him and pick his brain. And still to this day, when I was wrestling and even now, you know, anything, it's like, hey, I need a little bit of advice on something. I can shoot him an email, shoot him a tweet, and he'll come back and he'll actually take the time to point me and guide me in the right direction. And, you know, I'm grateful for that. I mean, what other business can you idolize someone and then grow up and be considered a peer by these people?
You mentioned earlier also that you've been in business for 16 years, which I know means you have some really, really cool road stories. Are there any you can share with us?
Well, it's kind of later in the career, but some of the last feud I had before retiring, I was feuding with local legend Willie Clay in Carolina Championship Wrestling, and he brought in his trainer, who was Manny Fernandez. It's actually how I met Manny and got to train a little bit with Manny. And we ended up having a series of matches that two of the matches were actually on YouTube. And it was just so fun being in there with Manny. He would do things like we would tie up and he would pull you into a headlock. And as he's working the headlock, he tries to get you to laugh. He, you know, he'll get in my ear and it's like, hey, kid, I like pie, you like pie. Let's go over here and talk about pie. And you're trying not to laugh, you know. You're trying to sell this headlock. And he sits there and gets in your ear. I remember in one of the matches, he gave me a Fujiwara armbar. If some of the people who are unfamiliar with what that is, basically, if you've seen the setup for the Crippler Crossface where he will grab the arm and drive the guy into the mat before locking it on, that is a Fujiwara armbar. Only when you land, instead of hooking the crossface, you just wrench up on the arm and the shoulder. When we landed, my hand bounced off the mat and smacked myself in the nose.
Oh, shit.
And I just had a moment where I went, oh, shit. He looked at me and said, you okay, kid? Yeah, I just smacked myself in the nose. He's like, yeah, if you're going to laugh, turn away from the crowd and do it. And so, you know, we just sit there kind of a rest hold for a minute or two and went on from there. I mean, these guys, they have fun. I remember, I think it was actually the event with the Rock and Roll Express where we did the seminar. We're backstage getting dressed and everything. Ricky Morton had been on the road, you know, all week. He comes in, he's laying down taking a nap. Robert Gibson walks in. Where's my partner? And everyone just points, you know, he just found a corner, laying his head up on his bag asleep. Robert goes over and kind of kicks him a little bit. You know, Ricky jumps up. Oh, God damn, who the hell's sitting here kicking me? I'm going to kick the... Oh, hey, Robert, it's you. You know, I mean, all these little ribs with these guys. Another good story, I wrestled at an event that was a benefit show for Kirby Mack. I don't know if you know who he is. He was one of the students of the Hardys. He had wrestled on a house show against, when they were still together, Homicide and Hernandez. Hernandez gave him a border toss, and when he landed just awkwardly enough. I'm not exactly sure what had happened, but he ended up having a collapsed lung. Mm-hmm. And obviously, you know, surgeries and everything cost. He couldn't work his day job for a while. He couldn't wrestle, so didn't have income coming in. So we did a benefit show to help him out with medical costs. And on this event, we were backstage with Lodi and Steve Corino. And I believe High Spots had organized this event. So they were there. They had a box full of gear that, you know, hey, we got extra gear if you guys want to get some. Well, we're backstage. Everyone's just screwing around. Lodi and Corino were in the main event. And they're sitting there putting on little skits in the locker room with the different costumes. Like, I remember Carino came with a singlet that did not have the legs, more of a butcher type. And he had that on, and it was a good size too small. So it looked basically like a thong with shoulder straps. A good comparison is if you've ever seen the Borat movie when he was wearing that bikini that came over his shoulders.
Right.
It reminded you of that, but it was pink.
Wow.
And he's walking up, and just these guys, they have no shame. Which, I mean, to be in this business, you have to be able to make fun of yourself because of some of the things that's going to happen to you. I mean, I've had a guy who played a gay character come up and kiss me on the forehead, and when I look back at the video, there was a huge blue glittery lipstick kiss print on my forehead. I mean, we had fun, and I've actually got to be in on that. When I wrestled for the Carolina Championship Wrestling, there was a tag team called the Cruel Connection, which, if you know your wrestling history, was a tag team in the NWA. Well, I was recruited earlier in the night to be a member of the Cruel Connection, and I was told that they are a borderline gay character. So we proceeded to do the typical spots. You know, the two guys get crushed in the corner, and one drops to his hands and knees, the other one drops to just his knees, and it looks like they're having sex. even so much as in the match that I was wrestling, my opponent was AJ McIntyre, who at that time was my legitimate partner. I got in the corner, you know, doing the Big Ten punches, and at the end of it, before I jumped down, I just grabbed him and kissed him and jumped down. He flipped. Later on the night, I'm talking with his wife, and she's like, I came straight from my job here, and he was already in the back getting dressed, so I didn't even get to say hi with him. You've got farther along with my own husband than I have tonight. I'm jealous.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, we have fun. I mean, and we're a big fraternity. I mean, when you're on the road, you know, however many days, whether it's Weekend Warrior just every Saturday, every Friday and Saturday, or, you know, 300-plus days a year like, you know, TNA or WWE, then, you know, you got to do stuff to blow off the steam, have fun. And that's what it's all about. I mean, unfortunately for me, I had an injury that forced me to retire. But for a lot of people, they become bitter with the business because they hang around a little bit too long. And when it stops being fun, that's the time to get out of it. Because why put yourself through the pain? I mean, a lot of people laugh and joke about, oh, well, they know what they're doing, they know how to fall, it's all fun, and do-do-do-do-do. But you can't fake gravity. This,
right.
It hurts every time you land. I have days now, and I will be turning 30 in September. Yes, I started my career when I was 13. I will be turning 30 in September. And I have days where I have trouble getting out of bed. I have trouble walking. I have to wear a knee brace from where I've blown out a knee. If I cough or sneeze, it's just agony on my ribs. It feels like, you know, it takes my breath away where I can't breathe. And, you know, I've done it for the love of the business, and I would still be doing it if it wasn't for the injury that forced me out of it. We've had some fun times and, well, some scary times up and down on the road. I've had a promoter call me and tell me that he had death threats sent to me and my group because of some things that we've done, which I found out later if it wasn't for it being part of the quote-unquote performance, would be a felony. I think I showed you guys the picture of it online. It's with the spray-painted flag.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
The story with that, my partner at the time, who actually was a blood hunter, which is funny. Him and I were partners 3 or 4 times, and every time we've split up, I've turned on him, and we had a little bit of a battle. I'd go being the career heel, and he being the, you know, baby face standing in the corner getting cheered. But at this point in time, he legitimately is a Marine. He got out of high school, trained, wrestled a little while, and when he finished his processing, was in the Marines. And he was scheduled to go to Iraq at this point in time. And this was early 2007, I would say. So for him to leave, we just, you know, we didn't come up with any big storyline. He just came out and said, hey, you guys, I'm in the Marines. They're sending me overseas. Wish me luck that I can come back alive to, you know, to entertain you guys some more. And I didn't know anything about it until a couple days before the show. So our story that we brought up, I ended up fighting him, leaving him laying in the ring. Well, I'm sorry, let me back up. I came out, congratulated him. When we shook hands, the whole drawback, hit him with the microphone thing, left him laying in the ring. So he goes to Iraq. During that entire time, though, I start protesting the war because it ended up being a bit where I was lobbying for us to get tag title shots, and him leaving kind of screwed that up. So it worked out perfectly for that. Well, I kind of took it a little bit overboard and spray-painted the flag on a show that was a tribute to the troop show. We had soldiers in uniform for all branches around the ringside, and I even went so far as when one of the soldiers was yelling at me, telling me how horrible a person I was, I told him to sit down and shut up. He'll be catching bullets soon enough. He doesn't want to be getting hurt there.
Oh,
when I perform, I perform. It's all or nothing.
I'm sorry. That's hilarious to me. I know I'm a bad person. Steve knows this. Everyone who knows me knows this. But I find that to be hilarious. I didn't mean to interrupt you with my cackling, but that's great. Thank you for that so much.
Oh, that gives me time to laugh, too. I mean, just thinking back on it, of all the things that I could have gotten myself and the people that were with me shot, some of the stuff we've done. But with that, to finish up that little angle of it, the promoter said, you're going to have to give an apology. He's like, but I don't know how we can have you give an apology and keep you heel. I told him, you know, trust me. Came out, I had to give a public apology in the ring, similar to the way Raven had to give the apology in ECW for crucifying the Sandman.
Right.
I came out and I told everyone, you know, if I've offended you, I'm truly deeply sorry that you're offended by me exercising my First Amendment rights. And at this point in time, you know, George Bush was still president. I was able to hit a little bit of religion as well because I started going off still protesting, and one of the lines I remember saying was, you know, this just gets me thinking. The last time a nation followed a Bush, they were stuck wandering in a desert for 40 years. Oh, wait, it's happening again.
Oh, damn.
ended up storyline, I had to wrestle a guy named the American Patriot, and at the finish of the storyline, we had a bet with the general manager. If I won the match, I would have control of the company for 30 days. If he won the match, I would have my head shaved in the ring and fired from the company. He won the match, you know. My head was shaved. And I still remember to this day the camera in my face. I'm spitting at the camera. I'm kicking and screaming. Security's dragging me out of the building. And the entire crowd is doing the na-na-na-na, hey, goodbye. And I remember being launched several feet out the front door by these two security guards. And it was the perfect end for that story. Another, well, not really dangerous one, but just kind of really messed up one. I would antagonize the people at ringside, which, you know, is in the job description. I told a little kid that I would pay him $20 to shine my boots after the match, and he started yelling at me. Well, I didn't really think when I said it. It was a little black kid.
And dude,
I have no shame. He started yelling at me, and I told him that the offer was off the table because I never pay good money for used farm equipment. But the topper on that was we were in a town called Elkin, North Carolina. And Elkin, if anyone knows, is backwood, redneck. You know, these people look like they're two cousins away from sleeping with their sister type of people. I was a bad guy. I was a heel. I was trying to get the crowd to hate me. But because I said that to a little black kid, the crowd started cheering around him.
Oh, my God.
And I'm like, hey, you guys are supposed to hate me, not cheer me.
Oh, I'm in tears. That's hilarious.
I am too. Oh my God. I think I need to change my pants because I just wet myself. I seriously did. I pissed myself laughing.
Yeah, so we've had different highs and lows. It's always fun when you go out there. You never know what to expect. You never know what the crowd. And one thing that Dory and Nelson have both taught me is perform the same way for 5 people as you would 5,000 people. And I have had the opportunity to work for 5 people and only 2 paying customers because the other 3 were like girlfriends of some of the wrestlers. And I've had the opportunity to work for a few hundred. And it just, I go out there and I personally believe that if you can get one person enthralled in the match, then the people around them will get enthralled. And it's almost like a ripple effect, like tossing a stone into a pond. The one person gets it, and the feeling spreads throughout the crowd. And, you know, one of the special training event camp things that we did when I wrestled for Dory Funk, we were able to go to and train in the ring of 2 live events for the WWE in their house shows, one in Lakeland, Florida, and one in Daytona, Florida, in the Ocean Center, which everyone knows the infamous Ocean Center is where Hulk Hogan had the turn and joining with the NWO, the leg drop heard round the world moment. And great buildings, you know, got to be backstage. Some of these guys are awesome. Tommy Dreamer would come up, you know, he's the name, he's the star, he's the name person. We're just a bunch of people in training standing backstage, you know, kind of scared being around these people that we grew up watching and idolizing. And as a new guy, which, you know, Wrestling 101 for anybody listening, you go up and you introduce yourself. You shake the hands. You know, if they're talking, excuse me, I hate to interrupt you. Hi, my name is so-and-so. Just wanted to say hi to you. And, you know, move along. Go, you know, if you're new in a locker room, if I go work for a new company, I would do that, make my rounds going around. Tommy would come up to us, both shows. Hi, Tommy Dreamer, nice to meet you, nice to meet you, you know. Being able to sit there with the WWE, this is when Brock Lesnar was still with the company. He would get at the entranceway and mess around with the sound effects, the guy that runs music in Gorilla. He'd mess with the sound effects, so you'd hear geese flying as you know, as we're in the ring. Hear truck horns, and you know, you're standing in the ring trying to keep a straight face, and these guys know that you're scared, know that you're green, and, you know, Tommy Dreamer and I believe Stevie Richards were in the ring, and you would hear like this of a truck horn. They both just face bump straight to the ground, duck, and just like, did you catch the license plate on it? It almost got us, you know? I mean, these guys are awesome, and they're just, you know, they're good guys. They're having fun. There are a few guys that at their level are a little cocky. I guess I'm not in the business in ring anymore, so I can break a little kayfabe here with you guys. We were backstage at, I believe it was the Daytona event. Rey Mysterio came in late because he was out signing autographs with kids. He got, I guess, their version of a write-up, fined for showing up late, but he did it to sign autographs with the kids. On the same event, Booker T was coming in. Some kids were asking for his autograph. Hey, yeah, let me throw my bag down inside. I'll be back out. He came in, threw his bag down, and he was laughing in the locker room. Oh, these marks think I'm going to come out there and sign their autographs. If they want my autograph, they're going to have to show up to an autograph session. And I'm sitting there, and in my head, I'm like, if it wasn't for these people that want your autograph, you wouldn't be where you're at today. I mean, at least guys like Randy Orton, they asked for his autograph, and he just flat out said no before walking in. I mean, at least he didn't leave them hanging. He was a dick to them, but I would rather someone be a dick and say no as opposed to, oh, yeah, I'll be right back.
Right.
Yeah. And I've always felt that these people make you. You know, if these are for any business, they are paying customers. Any business, regardless of whether it's WWE or McDonald's, you're paying customers come in.
Right.
If it wasn't for them coming and paying, you wouldn't have a job. So you have to treat them nice to a point, but, you know, realize that they are your bread and butter. And I've taken that to heart. I mean, I've always been one of the first ones, charity events. Like I said, the fundraiser for the benefit for Kirby Mac. We've done benefits for cancer patients, you know, raise money for their medical bills. I helped with a local Walmart and organized a wrestling event for their Children's Miracle Network drive. And for that weekend, we ended up raising just short of $150,000.
Wow.
For Children's Miracle Network. And it's, you know, being able to, you know, I'm decently smart, but I'm not a Mensa genius. You know, I'm not a Sheldon Cooper. If you are Bang Theory, you know.
That's a great thing.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a nerd, and, you know, as you guys know from the radio show that we host, that, and from the discussions we've had online, I'm a nerd, so these names are going to pop out a little bit. But,
that's,
you know,
right.
I'm not a genius, but I've got some brains. I'm not the best physically person. I have some stuff that I'm good at, some stuff that I'm not. My wife jokes around with me saying that I'm book smart, yes, street smart, no. But the few things that I am good at is entertaining. And if through my ability to entertain, I can help someone out, even if it's just, hey, you know, the 15 minutes that I'm wrestling, they get a break from their whatever stress of their bills and so-and-so sick, my dog just died, all of that. If that 15 minutes helps get them away from that, then I've done my job, you know. my entertaining helps. I mean, everything from, you know, like I said, the 15 minutes breaking the monotony of their life on up to raising money for charities. I feel like I'm able to give back. And that's what I love to do. That's one of the best parts about it. And knowing the fact that, you know, maybe one day down the line, some kid that sat there front row watching the match that I was in, if that made them want to be a part of the business, which I know for a fact that there has been at least one person that has had that happen, who I ended up training, and him and I are good friends now. And he's been up and down the roads, and we'll be doing some filming with us for some little comedy stuff for YouTube, and possibly in a couple of these films that we're working on.
Absolutely, absolutely. Now that you mentioned that, we actually want to talk about that a little bit with you. The Adventures of Beer Man. Tell us a little bit more about that.
The Adventures of Beer Man started out as a joke between myself and my brother, James Bond. He is a beer drinker. And one of our jokes about that is anytime I would speak with him on the phone, call him, he was either in a bar or just cracking open drinking a beer. And the joke started out with, oh, go figure, you know, you're drinking a beer. And we would sit there, and one of the days I just said, you know, your alcohol tolerance is so high it could be considered a superpower. And we start, you know, had a good laugh about that, started joking around about, yeah, we could see it on Saturday Night Live. They have a superhero, you know, he gets his powers from beer like Popeye does from spinach. 2 weeks later, he calls me, hey, you know, what's up? I'm like, I'm sending you something in the email. I sent him a copy of the script for Beer Man. And it just come from that little joke into, okay, we've got a script. And the script continued, which as of right now, we have the makings of a trilogy of films, which will have a complete story arc, which means we've had to go back and do some rewrites to put a little foreshadowing in, which is a couple lines here and there. But the basic story of it is the brothers, Connor Murphy, who will be played by James Mox, and Kyle Murphy, played by myself. We were two orphan brothers who were adopted by a man named Noah Donegal, who owns a pub. So we grew up in a pub. The pub is being strong-armed by a local mafia don, Don Salvatore Vizzini, who in the film will be played by Zach Zullo, another wrestler and a promoter who wrestles under the name the Big Daddy Z. He's trying to strong-arm Noah into signing over the deed because he wants the pub to be able to have it as another front for all of his dirty deeds, mafia stuff, you know. Well, during this, the film starts out on St. Patrick's Day. In the hijinks that happen after us leaving the pub, Connor ends up becoming Beer Man. And I'm not going to give away how he becomes Beer Man, but I believe I've sent you a copy of the script, so you guys have read a little bit of it to, you know, to get an idea of how he becomes Beer Man.
We got the sneak peek.
He gets his powers. We become superheroes. We sit here and say, hey, this guy took us out of an orphanage. He's our father. We're not going to let this stand. So the superheroes that we are, we go on a war against the Don. And hijinks, comedy references, wrestling references, nerdy references, the whole gamut. I mean, we even have a George South reference in there. And if you don't already know, George South is a legend in the wrestling business. he's Ric Flair's chosen opponent at a old Crockett NWA event. He actually trained Ricky Steamboat's son. He trained Reed Flair, which, you know, the passing of Reed, which was horrible. So, you know, he's got great stories. I love hearing George's rants. If you guys have looked on YouTube at the Dad You Don't Work, You Wrestle videos that he has through High Spots on YouTube, he is that is him. That's not something put on for the cameras. He is like that. He goes on rants. He's old school through and through. And I'll defend George. You know, me and him don't see eye to eye on stuff, but I'll defend him with my last breath because he's one of the greatest guys I've ever known. I mean, and yeah, we throw little jokes in about some of the stuff that he said. But, you know, a full gamut of references galore. We're wanting to make this a film that you will have to watch several times, and we're joking around. Mox and I are joking, saying, you know, wait till we see the IMDb page. You know, we're going to let people write in, you know, any references that you see, write in, you know, put it down on there, you know, and we'll see how many are correct. Because there's references that are such obscure references that maybe five people would know. And, yeah, I mean, we're hoping to be able to make a good production of it and make this a franchise for the production company, the Queen City Saints Productions, that's helping us get this produced and everything. And that's why we have the Kickstarter, which you guys know about and been helping, and thank you for helping spread the word about it.
Absolutely.
We're trying to, you know, like we said, raise the funding for it. We need to get a minimum of $5,000 raised to be able to begin production. On the Kickstarter, which I guess you guys have been spreading the link around and everything for it, we have a lot of rewards for any backers. Everything from advertisements on the websites, on our radio podcast, on up to, you know, being named executive producer, you know, copies of the video, being invited to come on set and be an extra in some of our scenes. And even when we have a theatrical premiere, having free tickets for the, you know, the red carpet opening, you know, all of these goodies that, you know, we have for anybody that wants to, you know, donate a little bit and help bring this to life.
Yeah, absolutely. No doubt. And we've got that up on our Facebook page, facebook.com/kayfabecorner, if you guys want to go check that out and help out Adam's Kickstarter. It really is an awesome production. Like he said, we've gotten a chance to read the script, and it is going to be a fantastic movie. If you have a few extra spare dollars, you should absolutely help that Kickstarter out. It's going to be worth it.
Indeed, definitely. It sounds like our kind of movie. At least mine, anyway. I love your as well, and shots and everything else in between. So it's something that I definitely want to see happen. So go to the Kickstarter, donate, and make it happen for Adam. Make it happen for me, because I really, really want it to happen.
I actually think that we need to make a, after the film is completed, we should get together and try to come up with a drinking game for the movie. If anybody, after the film is done, can come up with anything for a drinking game, let us know. You know, contact the production company's email, qcsaints@live.com, and that's saints with a S at the end, multiple. You know, any ideas, you know, throw them their way. They'll, you know, it'll be posted up on the website.
Absolutely. Adam, I do hate to cut you off, but we are running short on time, and we want to get your social media info out there. So how can people get in contact with you real quick?
Facebook.com/official_Irish_Warrior. and twitter.com/TheRealAdamCole. It'll be, I'll make sure you guys get links, and I'm pretty sure you'll put it up here on the show and on the Kayfabe Corner. Mm-hmm. You can check out facebook.com/TheOfficialBeerMan for The Adventures of Beer Man. We can be contacted through there. And the production company for that is qcsaintsproductions.webs.com.
All right, fantastic. And we do just want to say again, please go check out the Kickstarter for The Adventures of Beer Man. It is on our Facebook page at facebook.com/kayfabecorner, as well as on kayfabecorner.com. And myself and Josh personally have been promoting it to everyone that we know to try and get the word out. Adam, we want to thank you very much for coming on the Dark Main Event. You've been incredibly entertaining and insightful, and please feel free to call in any time and come back.
Oh, definitely, definitely. I'll do the best I can. I enjoy sitting here talking with you guys. I love having the same thought process as you guys. And like you said, please help with this Kickstarter. We need your help to be able to bring this to life. And, you know, the quicker that we can raise funding, the quicker we can get the production started, and the more money we can raise, the better production value it will have. So help us out, please.
Without question.
Absolutely.
Please go check that out, guys.
All right. Well, thanks for having me on here, guys.
Thank you,
Adam.
We appreciate it. Take care.
All right.
Bye-bye.
All right. Goodbye.
All right, guys. That was Adam Cole. I want to say once again, thank you. Thank you so much, Adam. It was a great interview. We enjoyed talking to you so much. You heard us before talk about it, but you know, if you want to help the Kickstarter out, check out our site. We'll have a link up for that. You can check it out on facebook.com/kayfabecorner. We'll tweet it. Twitter, at the Dark Main Event, or at Dark Main Event, I'm sorry. We're actually experiencing a bit of technical difficulties right now. I don't have Steve. I'm kind of flying solo.
Not quite solo. You got me still.
Yeah, I guess I do. I still do have you, disembodied voice. So, yeah, you want to give us a call? 347-838-9944. That, once again, is 347-838-9944. Until then, I guess I'll just have to talk to you. How are you doing?
Well, you know, I'm doing all right. You know, I watched Raw last night too, and I think I talked about this a little bit before, but I really liked the part where John Cena was, you know, against the Shield, and he came above the odds, and that was really great. I liked it a lot. I like John Cena.
I bet you do. You seem like the type of person that would.
Yeah, you know, I really like him. He seems like a really good guy. You know, he had a rap album once, you know, a long time ago, and it was really good. I like that. It's my iPod. I listen to it every day. So, and you know, it's just good stuff, man. He's my favorite. I really do want to be like John Cena. Every day I try, and he's great. I love him.
Damn it, Steve. You left me here alone with him. I will never forgive you for this. So, yeah, we're going to do this with Steve, actually, but since he's not here, we'll jump into Extreme Rules this Sunday. There's been some build-up for it, but I'm not real sold on the show myself. It's, But, well, we'll get right into it. We're going to do some predictions, actually. I was going to do it with Steve, but he's not here. He's having phone problems, so I guess I'll... Fuck. I guess I'll do it with you. We're going to have a contest here. Josh versus in disembodied voice. It's going to be Josh versus Steve versus disembodied voice, but in circumstances... So we'll jump right into it. Extreme Rules, World Heavyweight, I guess it's not the World Championship match anymore since Ziggler's out with a concussion. But number one contenders match for the World Championship,
Alberto Del Rio versus Jack Swagger. Disembodied voice. Who you got?
Well, you know, I think Jack Swagger, he's not a good guy at all, and I think he's a bit of a racist, and I'm not really cool with that. You know, I think America is the land of the free and the home of the brave, and you know, Alberto Del Rio, he's a real American, and I think you know, with him and Ricardo, who I think is also just excellent, I think they're gonna pull off the win and become number one contenders and beat Dolph Ziggler, and Alberto's gonna get his title back, I think.
I hate to do it. It's not for the same reasons, but I do agree with you. I think we will see a rematch eventually between Del Rio and Ziggler. Mostly because Jack Swagger sucks to me. You know, it's not anything about racism or anything, because, you know, whatever. I just don't like Jack Swagger. And, yeah, so I think, yeah, you're right. Del Rio wins the match, not because he's a great American or anything like that, because he's not even American. But, hey, there you go. We'll move on from there. Up next, we got the WWE Championship match, John Cena versus Ryback.
John Cena wins, definitely.
You didn't even let me finish.
Well, you didn't need to. John Cena's going to win, man. You know, Ryback, I can't believe the direction he's taken lately. It's just, it's been horrible what he's been doing to John, and it's just, I thought they were friends, man, and it's almost like if you decided to beat me up or something over something, because we're best friends, right, Josh?
No, we're not.
Well, either way, I think John Cena is still going to win. He's going to retain his title, and, you know, the champ is still going to be here, and it's going to be amazing. And, John Cena wins, and he keeps rolling on. He's a champ. It's going to be great.
Well, if anybody knows me, they know I'm Ryback's biggest fan. I can't go against my boy. Ryback wins because Ryback rules. Ryback, the new WWE champion. You heard it here first on the Dark Main Event. We're going to move on. Brock Lesnar, Triple H inside of a 15-foot-high steel cage. Disembodied voice, what you got?
Well, you know, I think Brock Lesnar, he's not a very good guy. He destroyed Triple H's office, and it was horrible what he did. And, you know, I think Triple H is just going to be really mad about that, and he's just going to beat his butt.
No. Beat his butt? Are you serious with that? This is not a PG show. You can say whatever you want.
That's just the language I use.
Triple H is going to win. Let's move on. Sheamus and Mark Henry.
I think Sheamus is going to win, and, you know, it's a strap match. And Sheamus, you know, he's Irish. Irish guys are cool. Adam was Irish, and he's cool, too. That one girl that sometimes calls in, she's Irish. I like her a lot.
I like her, too. We finally agree on something. She's going to be my future wife, you know.
Not if I get to her first.
No. That is not happening. She's mine.
If you say so. But yeah, Sheamus wins.
I hate to do it, but I agree with you. I think Sheamus gets the win there also. We'll move on real quick. Randy Orton and the Big Show in an Extreme Rules match. Ooh, fancy.
You know, I like Randy Orton a lot. I think, you know, he's the Viper, and he does the RKO, and he doesn't kick guys in the head anymore, which is probably pretty good, because that could cause a concussion or something, and, you know, if those are bad, you could see what happened to Dolph and Ziggler, and see how he got his concussion, and they just, I think Orton is going to RKO Big Show, and he's going to win the match, and it's going to be pretty cool.
I don't really know. I don't... know what they plan on doing with the other guy after this, so I'll say Big Show just because, fuck it, I don't care. And I just really want to get through this as quick as I can. Up next, Chris Jericho, Fandango. What you got, bro?
Well, you know, Fandango, he's not even a good dancer, and he's supposed to be a dancer, and he's not very good at it, so I think Jericho's going to win, because he was on that TV show with the dancing and the stars, and I forget what it's called, but it was something about dancing. He was on that show, and he's a pretty good dancer, and so I think Jericho's going to win, and it's going to be all right. You know, Jericho's going to, he's going to put him in the walls, and he's going to make him tap out.
I don't know. I think Fandango gets another win. Jericho is just, you know, he's going to put him over. Like he put him over at WrestleMania, he's going to do it again, and it's going to be more or less the same, probably. We'll move on again real quick. Kofi Kingston, United States Championship match against Dean Ambrose of The Shield. Disembodied voice, what do you got?
You know, Dean Ambrose, he's not cool at all. I mean, a lot of people I know like him. They think that he's going to be a big star, but I really don't. I think he sucks, honestly. I think he just sucks, and, you know, he's going to be all by himself for the first time against Kofi Kingston. Do you know what Kofi Kingston has done? He's won championships, and, he's done all that stuff. So I think Kofi Kingston's going to win, and he's going to retain his championship, and he's going to be Kofi Kingston for a long time, man.
I don't even know what that means. But I'm going to disagree with you. Ambrose wins. It's going to be the Shield tonight. And that'll lead into the last match here. Team Hell No, Daniel Bryan and Kane versus the Shield, Roman Reigns and Seth Rollins for the WWE Tag Team Championship in a Tornado Tag Team match. Your thoughts? Not so good, sir.
Well, you know, like I said, it's Daniel Bryan and Kane. And those guys, Daniel Bryan, he's cool sometimes, but sometimes he's not so cool. When he's not saying no, I like him a lot, but when he says no, I don't think I like him so much. But, yeah, you know, and Kane is, again, if he's not facing The Undertaker or someone like that, I like him. But otherwise, I'm not a big fan, but it's them against the Shield, and I really don't like the Shield, because the Shield, they're just bad guys, and I really don't want to see them win. So I think Daniel Bryan and Kane are going to win. Team Hell No all the way, man.
Like I said, I think it's going to be the Shield tonight, and those guys go over, Roman Reigns and Seth Rollins, and we have new tag champions, just like we have a new U.S. champion, and that is it for that. And that is just about it for the show. Anything else you want to say, disembodied voice?
I think everyone should order Extreme Rules. They should call their local cable or satellite provider and order it, because it's going to be a really good show. You know, John Cena is going to be on it, and you can't lose when John Cena is on it. So you should watch it, and it'll be really great. It's this Sunday, May 19th, and what? Sunday. It's May 19th.
May 19th. May 19th?
Yeah, May 19th. No.
Not, no. No. Again. No. No. Disembodied voice. You now are going to feel my pain.